So what does it mean that he was short of status? You know, he was short. What does it mean? What does it mean? Okay. Was it... So how do we relate to it? How does a tall person like him relate to this, huh? Huh? You know, there's actually more meaning here. We just aren't picking up on it. I don't think we are. I don't think we are picking up on it. Because really, if my memory recalls properly, that is the only time the status, the physical appearance of somebody was really noted here in the gospel readings. We rarely hear of the physical status. What does the person look like, you know, specifically? You know, whether they're tall, they're fat, they're short, whatever it is. This is the one time. So how in the world do you guys, to tall people, relate to that in reality? You know, if we don't know Scripture, then we aren't going to understand what's transpiring here. We have to understand Scripture in order to understand what is transpiring, in order to understand what God is getting at, what our Lord and Savior is getting at. And St. Paul really draws that out in the letter to the Romans. He really draws that out in chapter 3. I think it's verse 23. Chapter 3 of Romans, verse 23. We have all fallen short of God's grace. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, I should say. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. So what are we doing about it? Are we willing to climb out of that? Like Zacchaeus? What's impeding us? See, in the very first reading today in the Book of Wisdom, it's beautiful. And we can misconstrue the words also here in the book of Wisdom as we take a look at it. Where it says that he overlooks our sin. You know, and you know, we can just stay there and say, oh, he overlooks my sin. No, it doesn't mean that he overlooks our sin, that he doesn't care, that he doesn't care about our sin. It really comes to play as we finish it, and it says there, therefore you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them and remind them of the sins they are committing. So little by little, in other words, you know, he doesn't overlook. You know, St. Peter says in his letter that God's patience is directed towards our salvation. God's patience is directed towards our salvation. So it's not that God is overlooking our sins. He's just patiently waiting on for our conversion, patiently, as he pours out his grace upon us to bring about that conversion within our lives. But we have to be open to it. And see, Zacchaeus was open to that. He was open to that because right before our Lord God encounters Zacchaeus, what does he do? As he's entering Jerusalem, he runs into a blind man and he heals the blind man. So the word is preceding him. Word is preceding Jesus. And so Zacchaeus picks up on that. And Zacchaeus, you know, Zacchaeus is feeling empty here. He's feeling empty. You know, he knows what his lifestyle is. Zacchaeus recognizes himself as the chief tax collector, the worst of the worst. And he recognizes that. And he knows that he's fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, what does it mean? What does it mean to be fallen short of the glory of God? What does that mean? You know, just a few days ago, it said in our daily reading here that we are predestined, that God has predestined us. Here's the beauty of St. Paul. This is what St. Paul says. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, of his Son. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Okay? And so Zacchaeus knows he's fallen short of that glory. Of that glory, of that become a son of Abraham, as Christ would say at the very end of this. For this, he says, for he is a descendant, or this man too is a descendant of Abraham. So Zacchaeus knows that he's fallen short of that. So what does he do? He hears the word come forth that here's this Jesus who has healed this blind man on the outskirts of Jericho. And see, Christ had no intention of stopping in Jericho because it says in the very beginning he intended to pass through the town, not stop there. So the question is, you know, Zacchaeus, how can Zacchaeus get his attention to have him stop? And so Zacchaeus finds a sycamore tree and climbs the sycamore tree. And there from the heights of the sycamore tree, he climbs above the crowd. Above, and we can see this in a very spiritual way. He climbs above those things which are impeding his ability to see God. He climbs above those things that are impeding his ability to see God, whatever they might be in his life. And so what are those things in our lives that's impeding us to see the fullness of the glory of God and to have that glory of God recognized in our life? What are those things that we need to climb above? And so Zacchaeus climbs up. He runs and climbs up that tree there, the sycamore. And Christ, as he's passing by, what does Christ do? Christ sees him. He gets Christ's attention. Christ sees him and he says, come down quickly. Come down quickly. He didn't tell him to take his time. He didn't say, come down. He said, come down quickly. Because, see, the message was urgent. The healing was urgent for Zacchaeus, just like it is for us. God doesn't tell us, hey, meander on down to me. No, God says, God calls us to immediate return to him, immediate reconciliation, immediate repair of our relationship with him. Not to take our time, because there's an urgency in our lives. There's an urgency. And so Christ says, come down immediately, quickly. And so he quickly comes down to our Lord. And what happens? Our Lord says, I'm going to stay with you. And as they're going, as they're leaving, what happens? There's the grumbling of the crowd. And what are they doing? They're accusing him. They're accusing Zacchaeus of his sins. They're grumbling against, he's going to stay with the sinner. Well, they're not just saying that he's going to stay with the sinner. Come on, guys. You know what he's doing, what the crowd is doing? They know Zacchaeus' sins. They are probably saying what his sins are. That's how crowds are. That's how people are when they throw out their accusations against us. They don't just say, he's a sinner. Oh, no, they don't. They say exactly what our sins are. Exactly what our sins are. And what's Zacchaeus' reaction? Zacchaeus doesn't defend himself. How many of us would turn around and begin to defend ourselves? Zacchaeus never defends himself. He just begins to, he basically admits to every sin that they threw out at him. And he turns to Christ and says, I will repay. I will reconcile myself. I will repay. See, when Zacchaeus climbed that tree, he actually died to himself. The tree is a symbol of the cross. It's a symbol. By climbing up, he bore himself out. He showed himself. He had to recognize his sinfulness. Just like the thief on the cross on the right side of Jesus recognized his own sinfulness and admitted his own sinfulness, but he couldn't climb down because he was nailed to the cross. But Zacchaeus could come down and come down quickly. So Zacchaeus reconciles himself. He says, I will pay back. I will reconcile myself. And then Christ's response is very important. After Zacchaeus says that, Christ responds to him. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. Because see, Zacchaeus was willing to admit his sin and willing to do penance, to pay back. And so therefore he entered back into that glory of God, into that glory that we have all fallen short of, Just like the prodigal son that we heard about a month ago or a month and a half ago, we heard the parable of the prodigal son. See, when the prodigal son returned home, he didn't receive full sonship until he first reconciled himself with the father. He had to first reconcile himself with the father, and the father had to recognize that reconciliation by giving his robe, by giving him a robe, a ring on his finger, and the sandals. And all of these are beautiful symbols: robe, justification, the ring on his finger, that he's entered back into the covenant. He's entered back into the covenant with his father, and the sandals, that he's going to walk according to the will of his father now. He's going to follow his father, walk according to the will of his father, walk in the way of his father. And then he was invited into the banquet. He was then invited. The banquet didn't happen until the reconciliation and the recognition of that the son has come back into union with the father. Then the banquet happened. So that says a lot for us here. And so it wasn't until Zacchaeus reconciled himself and was willing that he was recognized as a descendant of Abraham, as a descendant of Abraham who receives the promise of God. And so it's the same with us. Where have we fallen short of the glory of God? And are we willing to expose ourselves so that we can receive the mercy of God? That's the question. Are we willing to expose ourselves to receive the mercy of God? We might not have to, you know, just look at your Facebook page. I bet you if I go to your Facebook page, I can already know your sins just from your Facebook page. I mean, geez, oh, flip, those things are like out there. But I'm not talking about that willing to expose ourselves. I'm talking about the willingness to expose ourselves in the sacrament of reconciliation. Because some of us are still not willing to expose ourselves. And it takes humility to do that. But it is there when we expose ourselves that God can heal us. And it's there in that healing that we once again enter into that glory of God, into the sonship